Welcome back to, yeah, that's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the no repeat guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Absolute Radio Country, I'm Baylen Leonard. My guest today, one of country music's most exciting rising stars. So we first heard from him when he was a contestant on The Voice, and that was nearly 10 years ago. And since then, his music has been streamed millions of times. He's had a big, huge hit single on the country airplay chart as well. And he's released his third album, Blacktop. Corey Kent, welcome back to Absolute Radio Country.
Thank you.
I would have thought that after last time you coming straight to the studio from the airport, that this time you would have had a little bit of rest, you would have settled down in the UK, you'd come in bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and here you are straight from the airport again.
No, I just live my life sleep-deprived, you know? Like, I'll sleep when I'm dead, I guess. I don't know.
I like to think that you, every time you get to the UK, you're like, do you know what? I need to go straight to Absolute Radio Country.
That's it.
Before I do anything else, just to say howdy.
In fact, it's like a mandatory thing that my team knows.
No, it's written into your contract.
I want to fly in, get no sleep, and come straight to Absolute Radio. So.
I mean, now you'll have to do it every time because it's a tradition.
After the second time, it's definitely a full-on tradition.
Yeah, so, well, welcome back. It's good to see you back.
Yeah, thank you.
Last time we saw each other, that was C2C.
Mm-hmm.
So that was March of last year.
Yep.
Here we are. You're back on the Ashley McBride tour.
Yeah.
This is a great thing.
Ashley is one of those artists that says things in a unique way and actually has something to say.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of artists that I feel like maybe got into music for fame or money.
Great. And we're going to talk about those artists now. Go ahead.
Great.
List them all.
Yeah, let me name drop them. But I have an extra amount of respect for those artists that do it for the craft. And I feel like Ashley is really one of those people.
Did you know her before? Do you know her?
I actually met her right after we met the first time. I played here at C2C. And then shortly after, I went over to Brisbane, Australia and played CMC.
Yes.
And that, I actually had to fly basically all the way across the world to meet Ashley.
It seems worth it.
Yeah, totally. So we met there for the first time, and we knew that we were going to play a couple shows together actually in the state that I live in, Texas. And, you know, I got to meet her, and she was super kind and just gracious. And then, ironically enough, the day that Wild Is Her went number one in the United States, I was opening a show for Ashley McBride in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, really?
So it's kind of this, I don't know, our paths have kind of unintentionally been intertwined in really cool ways. And to come over here, I know she's got a great fan base here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most, if not all, of these shows are sold out.
Yeah.
So it's great exposure for us. And the last time I came over here, I loved it. And I said to my team, hey, I want to make it a point to come back and invest here because these fans are amazing. And I don't say that, you know, lightly. These people, they were quiet and attentive and hanging on every word. And that's all you can ask for as a songwriter. That's, you're pouring your heart into a song for people to pay attention and care on that level. It was awesome. So,
and also, I think you'll see as a support on, you know, people are there to see Ashley McBride, but they're very much also there to see you. A lot of them will have seen you already. Most of them will know your songs, but even when they don't know an artist and they don't know the songs, the UK audiences show up for the support. And I always think that's a really great thing to see.
That's the best case scenario, because a lot of times as support, you're fighting for attention, and it seems like folks are doing their homework. You know, even if maybe they haven't heard of you until they bought the Ashley McBride ticket, but it seems like they're going in and doing their homework.
Oh, yeah, they'll dig in. As soon as they find out you're supporting, they dig in, and that's a great thing.
It's really cool to me to see people here covering songs of mine. I got one today. Somebody that was like, I bought tickets to the Ashley and Corey show and was covering a song of mine. And it's just surreal to think a couple years ago I was working at a pavement company, and now people halfway across the world are interested in my music. It's really cool.
Yeah, well, keep on coming. Like you said, I mean, it's great. It's the audiences here are something special, and when they like an artist, they dig right in. So it's good to have that commitment on air from you that you're going to keep coming back.
Absolutely. I mean, especially with how these shows have sold, I think that we're going to get a lot in front of a lot of new fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, my goal is to come back and play these venues as a headliner.
Good.
So how do we do that? We come over here and we open up and we invest and hopefully make a lot of new fans.
So the last time you were here, we talked about it, CTC, and Wild as Her was all over the charts, but you hadn't released Blacktop yet. So how's it been since you've released that?
Man, it's been good. I try not to have expectations because, I mean,
it would be hard to not, though, wouldn't it? Because you had such success with Wild as Her, and then there's probably one half of you when you're getting ready to release an album off the back of something like that where you're like, oh, here we go. You know, yeah. I had huge. And then another half of you that's like, oh, Lord, here we go. What's going to happen here?
Yeah, one of the things that I've noticed is that if I do have expectations, it's usually based on me looking around and comparing.
Right. So what, to other artists?
To the release of other records.
Right.
Or there's usually, I mean, the only way really to measure is by a metric of what someone else has done. It's or numbers, right? And those are direct comparisons. And I found that just in the creative process, that's a really unhealthy thing for me. So I do my best to keep my head down and not look around. Uh-huh. And when I do that, I'm always pleased with the outcome because I'm seeing people respond to the music and I'm seeing people connect with it in a deep way. But then, you know, it's easy to, if I'm comparing to artists that are selling out stadiums right now, then I'm going to be disappointed with the response to my record.
But because they weren't selling out stadiums forever, were they?
Right? This is record one for me.
Yeah. So it's hard not to do that, though, I think.
It is tough, but I realized it was kind of crushing my creativity. I was focused on the wrong things. So, but how it's been since the release of Blacktop is our shows have exploded. So it's having an impact. While we have another song at radio, it's definitely not climbing as quick as Wild as Her. But
is this something that's going to kill me?
Yes.
We love it here.
Thank you.
Is it because you're a bit of an adventure seeker?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, I know that that is what the song is about. But also, you know, are you inhabiting a character? Are you actually one of these guys that likes to go out and just push it to the limit?
Let's see. What? Last weekend, I was in South Dakota.
Okay.
It was.
I bet it's freezing cold in South Dakota then.
A real feel of negative 39 Fahrenheit.
Oh, no.
And what did I do? I went out on a snowmobile and went 40 miles an hour on the snowmobile. Who knows what the real feel, the wind chill would have been then. But it was an adventure, and I was up for it, you know?
Did your eyeballs freeze? Because I always think when it's that cold, surely, how do your eyeballs not freeze?
Well, we had a visor, so that
was
helpful.
Oh, good. Okay, but still.
But it was so cold that things were spontaneously freezing. So, so you would breathe, and the condensation would, the humidity would hit the visor, and it would instantly freeze. So then you have to ride with the visor up because you can't see
anything.
And
then your eyeballs freeze.
It was the coldest weather I've ever felt. And knowing what I know now, would I do it again? Probably not. But I had to do it, right? We had to go. I mean, me, my tour manager, Bo, my media guy, we all have adventurous spirits, and so we're going to take cool opportunities when we get them, even if the weather's not cooperating. So, yeah, we're adventure seekers, but that song also, to me, is really about embracing the fact that you don't know what's coming tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised, and you can't live your life in fear of what may or may not happen. You better enjoy today and do the things that bring fulfillment to you. So,
even if you freeze your eyeballs off.
Even if your eyeballs literally are frozen.
You've been busy, though, because not only everything that we've just talked about, but there was another project that you snuck out in the kind of in-between time when everybody else was laying on the sofa and watching Netflix and eating cheese. You were like, hey, everybody, I got a new project for you. What is this Project 23?
So 23 is kind of this continuation of what I call fan projects. It's really meant for our original fans, the people that heard about us long before Wild Is Heard, that have been with us for years and years. I feel like they deserve music quicker than the typical album cycle allows, especially in country music when you're playing the radio game. So this is the third year in a row that I've done that. I had a 21 record. I had the 22 tapes last year and 23 this year.
Are you that's about the year, not your age?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It's about the year. It's really a collection of songs that I feel like define what that year has been. And this one, to me, I didn't hire a producer. I didn't have a band. I didn't go to Nashville or New York or LA to record this. I went right down the road and Texas and drove my own Ford Bronco over there and sat down in a chair with me and a guitar and rattled off about 14 songs and picked the 9 that I felt like were cohesive and just made a project out of songs that I loved, but they were kind of the misfit batch of songs. Like, they were songs that I had a connection with, that I felt like my fans would connect with, but also hadn't found their home on a record yet. You know, they didn't make the Blacktop record for whatever reason. Just, you know, you have to curate a record, and sometimes a great song won't make the record just because it's gone up against another great song with similar tempo or similar subject matter. And I'm creating a record, like a living, breathing thing. And sometimes these songs just fall by the wayside.
It sounds like when you make records, you want to do that thing where, and a lot of artists do that, but a lot of artists don't do this, where you want people to listen to the album from start to finish in a kind of, look, I've curated this, it's telling you a story, or it's taking you on a journey, or whatever it is, which a lot of people don't listen to music that way nowadays. But it's always really nice when a project comes out that does have that, that you can listen to and it can take you there. Is that how you do all of your projects?
That's definitely the goal.
Yeah.
And I know it's a lost art, and I know it's a little old-fashioned, but
I love it, though.
As a listener, I still can listen to an entire record, and if I can do it, I know there's other people like me out there that still enjoy that.
So yeah,
I think it comes down to making the thing that you're most proud of, like, and if that's a record that somebody can listen to front to back, that's what you should do. And if that's not where your heart is, then, you know, follow it and create whatever you want to create. But for me, that's still how I love listening to records. So I'm going to, you know, create a record like that every chance I get. And in the meantime, you know, put together records like 23 that let things fall together, not have to have a perfect plan every time. You know, I went in and because I didn't have a producer, I'm not the most tech savvy guy in the world. Like, I know my way around a studio and I know how to set mics up and things, but I kind of made an error that led to the whole vibe of the record. And that was, I sat down, I mic'd everything up, I played through the song, and I was talking to the engineer, and I was like, man, I think I want to go back and fix this one little thing I messed up on that take. Because I was just playing the song, me, my guitar, all the way through. And when I got to the end of the song, he was like, well, you can't really go back and fix anything. I was like, why not? And he's like, well, the way you mic'd everything, you can't isolate the guitar from the vocal. You can't go re-sing the line. It's all live. And I was like, well, I guess I'm playing the next 13 live, you know? So we just did it. So what you hear is a really human and raw project that has a lot of imperfections in it. But I think
I love that. And you don't get that a lot because things are so slickly produced now. A lot of things are so slickly produced, and every little minor thing is completely fixed. And that's okay too. There's a time and a place for that. But as people, we all make mistakes constantly, big ones, little ones, in whatever field we're doing. And I think that even if you, as a listener, don't necessarily hear that and go, oh, there's a mistake there, there's something that you connect with on another level that makes it a little bit more human for you.
Absolutely. And I think you're seeing a big divide right now in country music. There's a really big movement towards the unproduced or the non-slick production. And then there's still the typical, more typical radio country, you know, pop country stuff that's going on. And, you know, I find myself more on the organic side in terms of what I enjoy. But, you know, Wild as Her is a big rock and roll country song that, you know, we didn't hold anything back in terms of production. And it was undoubtedly more raw and organic than a lot of stuff that's on the radio, but in the same breath, it wasn't super stripped down and completely like this 23 project. But I think my goal in this 23 project was to show that artists don't have to be one trick ponies, right?
Like,
you can do both. You can let whatever that project is that you're working on, you can reinvent yourself, essentially. There's just like everybody, if you're an introvert, but you go out and you are hanging out with your friends, like you can be extroverted for a night, right?
Yeah.
You can have great conversations and hang out till 2 a.m., but that doesn't make you an extrovert. In the same way, you can love rock and roll and country and put out a rock country record, and then you can go dive in and do something completely raw and organic. I think that the more open-minded we can be, the better in country music.
When you're talking about the divide between country music, obviously there's the sonic divide and what you were just saying about the way songs are produced and all that.
Yeah.
But also there's, and I don't know if you're referring to these guys, but also there seems to be a divide between kind of some of the artists who maybe wouldn't have been embraced by country not that long ago and now are kind of very much being welcomed into the fold, even if they don't necessarily say I'm country. I'm talking about Zach Bryan,
Absolutely.
Noah Kahan's, like, you know, those
Zach's
type of people.
Zach's a fellow Okie, and I've loved watching him carve his own path, man. It has been so cool to watch. And again, it's like he has, whether it was intentional or just complete chance, he's opened a lot of people's minds to what is country music.
Yeah.
That's a good place to be. Like, we shouldn't have these, like, you know, really perfect squared off edges of what country music is. I think that's healthy for the genre, and everybody great in country music has always kind of pushed those limitations and found their own lane with that. And I think it's a really interesting time to see, it's almost like Americana folk is now being accepted as country music.
Yeah, you're
even
right.
Even more so than it's probably being accepted in folk and Americana.
Meanwhile, Americana and folk are like, whoa, you high auto, what are you doing going over there to country?
It's super interesting, man, but I think it's great. I loved, we got to almost play a show. We got rained out. We were playing outside of the stadium. This was a couple years ago. Outside of the stadium, the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Georgia, I think, where Luke Combs was headlining.
Right.
And the lineup was Luke Combs, Zach Bryan, Cody Johnson, and Morgan Wade. That's a great lineup.
That's an amazing lineup.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's where country fans, that's a lineup they want to see, because they don't listen to the same style of music all the time.
Yeah, I always say that about UK fans specifically, because all of our doors are open, you know, in the UK. People, I think, have a broader definition of what country is, you know, and I think that we can fit a lot of those artists into, certainly we do it here on this station, but I know just out and about, you will see the same people, some of the same people at a Ashley McBride concert that you will at a Mara Morris concert, that you will at a, you know, a Tyler Childers concert.
Yeah.
Like, it all is under this big umbrella. And do you think that in America, I mean, it looks like it's moving that way now, but that's only because it's kind of been dragged kicking and screaming because you can't ignore success on the level of a Zach Bryan.
Yeah.
Do you think it will continue to go that way, and that the kind of barriers around country music will continue to expand?
I'd like to think that the barriers will continue to expand. I will say this, you know, I live in Texas, so I don't live in Nashville like a majority of the artists that you hear on country radio. I know Zach doesn't live in Nashville. I know my buddy that I'm going on tour with for most of the year, Parker McCollum, he lives in Texas. Mm-hmm. Cody Johnson, he's not in Nashville.
So Morgan Wade doesn't live in Nashville, yeah.
Right, there's a whole movement of like, you can do this your own way. And for the first time in a long time, I think that being an outsider is cool and more acceptable even in the mainstream.
Mm.
Like, I think for a long time it was like, if I'm not going to do it the way that the blueprint says I have to do it, then I'm going to be like banished to obscurity and I could have a great career over here. But it means that I'm giving up the mainstream exposure. And now it's like, I can do my own thing. And if I'm really great at what I do, I can still get the mainstream exposure. And that's a really cool thing. That's a great place to be as a genre.
It's like, yeah, really good.
Let the greatness shine through. Let them do it their own way. I think that breeds good art. I know that my art has exponentially grown since I just left Music City and was like, I'm going to carve my own path. Like, I left, I went to work for a pavement company, I got my priorities straight, and from that, from living real life in a place that wasn't all hyper focused on how do I become famous and make a living in music, from living a real life, real songs started flowing.
What part of Texas do you live in?
I live in Salina, which is
like... Where's Salina?
Salina with a C.
Okay.
So it's about an hour north of Dallas.
Okay.
The way I would describe it is, obviously Dallas is a big, big city.
Yep.
And it has sprawling suburbs. This is what I would consider like the first town far enough north that doesn't feel like a suburb.
Got ya.
It's like the first small town you come to outside of the Dallas.
How did you pick that? How did you end up there?
I just kept moving north, man. I wanted to get to a place that felt like where I grew up.
Right.
In Bixby, Oklahoma. If you moved 40 minutes outside of Tulsa, the main city that I'm from, you'd be in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought maybe the same would be true of Dallas, and that's just not how it
works. It just keeps going and going.
So I moved, you know, to a place called Frisco, and it was great, but it just wasn't what I was looking for. And my wife and I wanted more space, and we wanted a slower pace of life. And Salina offered all those things and still wasn't too terribly inconvenient to make it to the airport because I do have to do that pretty often, fly. So
yeah, you got to fly and come directly here to this studio.
Like, exactly. You know, that was actually heavily weighed. You know, it's like, how quick could I get to Absolute Radio if I had to? So Salina was where we drew the line.
Is it cold in Salina right now?
Actually, yes.
Because it looks like, I kept seeing...
Everywhere's cold.
Everywhere, the whole of the United States, from coast to coast, top to bottom, is cold.
Yes, we played... South Dakota, Omaha, Nebraska, and Denver. It was snowing the whole time. It didn't get above zero there the whole time. I know I'm speaking in like probably forbidden Fahrenheit.
Right? Oh, Fahrenheit. Yeah, no.
But it was super cold. And then we got back to Texas where it really doesn't snow very often.
Yeah, no.
And then the one day I was home before I came here, it was snowing.
And were people like, what?
Oh, dude, like, they're in Texas, they're cleaning out the grocery stores.
Yeah, get bread and
toilet
milk.
Toilet paper's gone. We even showed up.
People love to panic.
We even showed up to the airport. And, you know, we travel a lot, so we go to the Amex lounge or whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody showed up for work at that place because it snowed.
Oh, come on. So you weren't even able to.
Nah. I mean, we got like a cup of coffee, but they were like, sorry, the bar is closed. The winter storm knocked out our supply chain. I'm like,
come on now.
Come on. I know there's alcohol back there.
Seriously.
Don't give me that.
Well, affecting people in unexpected ways.
Right.
The snow.
Right.
I'm sorry you had to go through that.
No, it's all good. It just seems like it's following us, you know, the cold weather everywhere we go right now. So,
Are you going to get some time, just before I let you go, are you going to get some time to enjoy the UK? I'm assuming that when you were over for C2C, it was your first time over. I know your wife was with you.
Yep.
It was quite a busy, full-on thing. Did you get any time to do anything then? And if not, are you going to get some time to do anything now?
Last time, when I go somewhere and I'm a tourist, I go full tourist.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to, especially the first time. So, like, we did the double decker night bus ride thing, and they were like, "Do you want the headphones?" I'm like, "Give me the headphones.
Yeah.
Tell me all about this place.
Bring it on."
Yeah. So we did that. We did Tower of London, but we didn't really get to, I think, like, experience a day here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a
yeah.
normal day, not a tourist day. And so I'm excited that this time we do, with this Ashley McBride tour, like, we play tomorrow night and then we have a day off.
Yeah.
And what we decided to do, my wife's going to join me on the back half of this trip, but instead of doing the tour bus where you have a driver and you just wake up in the next place,
are you going to drive yourself?
Yes. Adventurous spirit. I'm like, rent a van.
Uh-oh.
I want to drive the countryside.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it. If you see me broken down on the side of the road or in a wreck, you know, send some.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm worried about with this. you're driving on the other side of the road, presumably
yes.
for the first time.
Yes.
Now, here's what's going to happen, Corey.
Okay.
You are going to be really unsure of how close to the side of the road you are on the other side of the van, where you normally drive.
Yep, yep.
You're going to feel like you've got a lot more space than you do. You have to overcorrect. I'm saying this as I've had to learn this as well. And I've also sat here and talked to loads of artists who have done exactly this.
Okay.
And 9 times out of 10, they take off the wing mirror. They hit something, they get too close to another car or a sign, boom, that wing mirror goes. I want you to you have to overcorrect.
Okay. It's good to know.
Use your mirrors to make sure that you've got space on. And you're going to be on some roads where you feel like there should not be two ways of traffic here, because these country roads are.
I have noticed that.
Absolutely like, tiny. But
is
you're
that
gonna,
because this place was built, these streets were built before cars, or was it just like we're going to make tiny cars over here?
Yeah, both. I think it's both. The Roman roads, some of them follow ancient Roman roads.
Okay.
Since you are going to be driving, just before I let you go, let's go through some things that parts of the car that we pronounce that we call something differently here.
Yes. Well, I just found out elevator's a lift.
Yeah, elevator's a lift.
So I thought that the lady at the airport was telling me to take a left.
Ah, okay. She's saying take the lift.
Me to take the lift.
All right, but you're going to be in the car.
Take a few lefts before.
So we're going to work on parts of the car exclusively now. We've already learned wing mirrors.
Yep, wing mirrors.
Okay, the windshield.
Yep.
What do you reckon we would call that here?
I don't know. The glass.
Windscreen.
Windscreen.
Windscreen. Yeah.
Do you guys have screen? Like
no,
screen
it's just
doors?
The. It's just the, no. We don't really have screen. That's called the windscreen, though.
Okay.
The windshield is the windscreen. The hood of the car.
Mm-hmm.
The bonnet.
The bonnet.
Yeah.
Why?
Because, well, it's sitting on top of the engine.
Okay.
Like a bonnet. Why hood?
All right. All
Why
right.
hood?
Yeah, I guess same reason.
All right.
Yeah.
Trunk.
I actually have never questioned why we would call it a hood.
Yeah, exactly, because you just accept it.
It's the same
American
reason.
Imperialism.
Yeah, exactly. Because we're right. That's just how it is.
Okay, the trunk of the car. Now, this one I think makes sense. I think this makes sense. If you are calling the hood the bonnet, if you go to the opposite direction, what would you call the trunk?
I don't know, the diaper?
the boot.
The boot, okay.
The boot. So the trunk is the boot. The hood is the bonnet.
Yeah.
The windshield is the windscreen.
The boot, okay.
We've done wing mirrors. But anyway, listen, I don't mean to scare you. I'm just trying to prepare you.
I'm trying to help you. Like I said, adventure.
You're gonna be,
let's do it.
You're going to be great. And you're going to be going through some lovely places as well.
Yeah.
London, Birmingham, Manchester, Glasgow, glorious Glasgow, wonderful Glasgow, Belfast, Dublin, Southampton. You're going to have a joy. I can't wait to follow along with your driving adventures on your Instagram.
It's going to be cool. Follow along to find out.
Corey Kent, always a pleasure. We'll see you again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Come directly from the airport again next time, yes?
Every time.
Perfect.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk Podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.